As we prepare our hearts for the study of God's Word, we want to spend some time in prayer as we do every week. If you're visiting around here, we don't just pray because it's what we're supposed to do. We pray because we believe we need God. We need God to work in us. And we don't just need God, we believe we have Him. That we have a Father who hears our prayers through Jesus. And this morning we're reminded of just how deeply in need our world is for the work of God our Father. As we see the events that are unfolding in the Middle East. As you all no doubt heard news yesterday about escalating conflict in Iran, we need God to work. We need Him to work in our world. We need Him to work in the hearts of our leaders. We need the work of Jesus Christ in this world today because it is a broken, dark, and fallen planet. And yet there is hope in Jesus Christ. And so we want to spend some time this morning praying, asking God to work. Work in the hearts of the leaders of our nation and the nations of the world. Asking God to work to make the gospel of Jesus known, to bring peace into the lives of men, women, and children, not just in our nation, but among the nations. And so, church, would you bow your heads? Maybe you would pray quietly there with someone next to you, maybe a spouse, a child, a friend. And let's just spend time praying for the work of God in our leaders and in the nations of the world, particularly in the Middle East. Would you specifically pray for President Trump and the leaders of our national government, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of Defense, those who are in places of making very important decisions? Would you pray for wisdom, discernment for their hearts? Would you pray for peace? Ask God kindly and graciously bring peace to a region, a world in conflict today. Would you pray for Jesus to be made known in Israel and Iran and those nations and in our own hearts and lives? Pray for Jesus to be made known and for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are living in a place of danger and conflict, that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Father, we are daily reminded that we are living in a world at war. And Father, there are just some days that remind us a little bit more clearly than others. Yesterday was one of them. And Father, I know that there would be a broad spectrum of opinion on what should be done or what's being done in the Middle East, in our nation. And Father, I pray that we would be united in heart as your people to say, regardless of political opinion, that we have a great King whose name is Jesus. And we look to our Lord this morning. Father, help us see Christ. Help us to see Him high and lifted up, seated upon a throne, having all authority in heaven and on earth. And Father, I pray that the work of Christ in the lives of people would be made manifest today, including us in this room. Lord, we pray for not only those who are gathered in this place, we pray for those who are part of our church family who are scattered among the nations. Lord, this morning we pray for the Evans family that we prayed for just a few weeks ago, sending them on mission to the United Arab Emirates, Lord, as they're there in that place right now, as a family, as the hostility, the conflict, the instability has certainly impacted them. Lord, would you keep them safe? Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you bring them home? God, and give them peace in their hearts. For Paul and Mandy and their girls, Lord, give them peace today. Bring them home safely to us and empower them by your Spirit to be witnesses, light in the midst of darkness as they are going. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes as we look to your word. Be glorified in us. Be our teacher, Holy Spirit, and lead us into truth. And Lord, let us be sons and daughters of the Most High God who obey and honor our Father in heaven above all. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Continue in prayer, steadfast and faithful in it, the Bible says. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you turn to Colossians chapter 3 to our next text in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Years ago, I heard of a mother who was having a bit of trouble with her young son because he would constantly make up stories and insist that they were true. He was a little bit of a liar, this kid. And one morning, mom reached a breaking point. At breakfast, the son came out and said, "Mom, you're never going to believe what happened to me last night. A spaceship landed in our backyard, and I went out to check it out so I could protect you and Dad, and these little green men took me on board their ship. We flew around space all night long. It was incredible, Mom. You're just never going to believe it." His mom didn't believe it. She finally had enough, so she said, "Son, get ready. I am taking you to the pastor right now, and I'm going to have him teach you not to lie. Enough is enough." So they went to see the pastor. The pastor said, "Hey, son, tell me what happened." Little boy said, "Well, last night, a spaceship landed in our backyard. I went out to check it out, and these little green men brought me inside. We flew around space all night long, and I barely made it back for breakfast this morning. That's the honest truth, Pastor." Well, the pastor thought for a second and thought, "You know, I'm going to use a little reverse psychology on this kid." He thought, "If I can get this boy to see a totally unbelievable lie, maybe it'll help him admit that he isn't telling the truth." So the preacher knelt down and said, "Son, you know, that reminds me of something that happened when I was preaching up in the mountains years ago. Right in the middle of my message, a huge grizzly bear burst into the church, started growling and snarling. People were so afraid, they just started jumping out of windows. They started making doors and walls where there weren't any doors and walls. But I was so afraid, I just got paralyzed right there. I froze. And that old grizzly came creeping up toward me to eat me. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a tiny little yellow dog came running into the church. And that tiny little yellow dog jumped on that great big grizzly bear, son. He killed it and ate it right there on the spot and saved my life." The pastor smiled, thinking, "Boy, I've done it now." He said, "Son, do you believe that?" The little boy's eyes were as big as saucers. And he said, "Pastor, of course I believe it. That was my dog." And so here's the point. The point is, it is just not easy to know how to parent your children. My mentor in ministry, Pastor Bob Bateman, used to say, they don't come with manuals. And man, is it true. It's really hard. When Emily and I left the hospital with our first child, I remember driving home and realizing I've got zero preparation for this. I didn't have to take a test. I didn't have to pass a quiz. I didn't have to go to a class. The closest thing I'd ever done to being a parent was having a fish tank when I was a kid. Within 6 months, my fish tank was nothing more than a bowl of dirty water. Literally, all the fish had jumped out rather than living any longer under my care. I thought, that can't be a good sign for the kind of parent I'm going to be. It's not easy to know how to parent our kids. But I got to tell you, it's pretty tough to be a kid, too. You've got broken parents. You don't always know how to navigate childhood with a mom and a dad who definitely will not be perfect. And when it comes to being a kid, parents aren't the only ones with responsibilities. Children have their part to play too. And that can make a parent's work and a child's life a very complicated, at times difficult journey to navigate together, according to God's design. But thankfully, God does have a design. He has a plan for homes like ours, for people like us, for parents and children, a plan that keeps us from spiraling into chaos. And he's clearly defined, according to his plan, the roles that he has for every member of the family. And that's the section that we have been in our verse-by-verse study of Colossians. That's where we'll be this morning. Look with me at our text, Colossians chapter 3. Let's read verses 18 through 21 this morning. The Bible says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Stop right there. Over the last couple of weeks, we have looked at the call of Jesus on the lives of husbands and wives. And this morning, we're going to focus on his desire for children. And I want to say something before we dig into what he's telling children here in our text. I just want to point out something that would be very easy to overlook. Notice verse 20 is written directly to children. You get that? Paul doesn't talk about children to the church. Paul talks to children as part of the church. Do you notice that? Paul treats children as though they are full-fledged members of the body of Christ. I love that. When our children come to faith in Jesus, they aren't second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven, and they aren't Christians in training. They're the church of Jesus Christ. And church, I hope we value the young people who are a part of this church. I pray that our senior adults and our empty nesters and our 30-somethings will love and respect our teenagers and our children. Older people, does it not make you joyful to see young people loving Jesus? Don't you? Sarah and three of her friends are excited about the young people being a part of our church. The church of Jesus Christ is composed of every person who's trusting in Jesus Christ. And that means that young people, you aren't the church of tomorrow. You are the church of Jesus Christ today. And that means then that you have a calling in Christ Jesus. Young people, you don't have to grow old to live the Christian life. You simply have to be born again, no matter what age you are. And as you trust in Jesus, his life will become your life. You will be united to him. This is something we've talked about all throughout the book of Colossians. You will be united to Jesus through faith in him in a way that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will live in you. He will empower the entirety of the Christian life in you. And as Jesus empowers his life in you, he desires to empower, young people, his design for your life as part of your family. Verse 20 says that it pleases him when you obey your parents. The primary calling of Jesus in the lives of children is to obey their parents. And I know some of you young people are now realizing why your parents were so insistent you come to church this morning, right? This is the primary call of God for us. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 6 says a very similar thing. And you may have been noticing that we've been paralleling Colossians and Ephesians, especially in this section. And that's because in many ways, Ephesians is like a commentary on the book of Colossians. Very similar content, follows a very similar flow of thought through the Holy Spirit's work in the Apostle Paul. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Stop right there. Here we see that Paul, adding to what he said in Colossians chapter 3, says that we are to obey our parents in the Lord. Or we'll talk about this in just a second. By his power. He also says that we are to honor them, because he says it's the right thing to do and God will bless it. This is the first commandment that comes with a promise, he says. And when you put all of those things together, obeying our parents, like he says in both of those passages, honoring our parents, doing it as pleasure to the Lord and in the Lord's power, it gives us our big idea for this morning. Here's the big idea for today. Children who desire to please the Lord will obey and honor their parents by Christ's power. Children who desire to please the Lord will obey and honor their parents by Christ's power. Now let's unpack that big idea just a little bit at a time. Starting with that first idea, children should desire to please the Lord. I want you to notice something here, very important in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 6. Verse 20 of Colossians 3, Paul says, children, obey your parents in everything. Now notice, because, here's the foundation for this, this pleases the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1, he says, children, obey your parents. Now notice, in the Lord, for this is right. In both of these passages, Paul does something that's very important and we need to notice. He places our relationship with the Lord ahead of our relationship with our parents. Here's what I mean. He doesn't say, children, obey your parents because it will please them. Now, it will please your parents if you obey them, kids. A little news alert there. But that's not what Paul is appealing to. And he doesn't say, obey your parents because it'll make them happy. And when they're happy, they'll be more likely to increase your allowance. He doesn't say that either, right? Because that's not the most important thing. As a matter of fact, when he's talking to children here, he doesn't even mention the impact that their obedience will have on the lives of their mom and dad. Even though your obedience, your relationship will have a dramatic impact on the lives of your parents, that isn't the primary consideration in this text. In Colossians, he says, obedience pleases the Lord. That's why we do it. In Ephesians, he says that the Lord has determined that obeying your parents is right and he will bless it. That's why we do it. What that means is that our relationship with the Lord is more central to our lives than our relationship with our parents. Kids, we don't obey our parents because they deserve it or have earned it. And you may have parents who do deserve it and have earned it, but that's not the primary consideration. We don't obey our parents because they're always right or know it all. We know they're not always right, and they definitely don't know it all. But you don't need to remind them of that. And that's not what the Bible is appealing to here. He says we obey our parents. Why? Because God has determined it's the right thing to do, and we should desire to please the Lord, period. You see, the reality is this. Our earthly fathers aren't our real father. God is our real father. And our loving Heavenly Father has designed the family to be a shadow that represents a reality, a picture that shows this world and those who are in the family, that shows the reality of who God is. God is our real Father, and our earthly parents are called to reflect the heart of our Heavenly Father to their children, to teach us what God is like so that we will ultimately have a relationship with Him through Jesus, so that we would want God as our God and our Heavenly Father even more than we would embrace our earthly parents. God is our Father, and that means this. He knows what is best. He wants what is best, and He has determined it is best when children obey their parents and honor them in the Lord. And here's what that means. It means when we rebel against our parents, we are actually rebelling against God. We're rebelling against His design for our lives, His authority over our lives. We're rebelling against Him being God. And Paul knows that, and the Holy Spirit is using him to display that or to relay that to us. We are called to honor our Heavenly Father and to acknowledge our Heavenly Father has determined this is what is best. And since He is central to our lives, this becomes central to our lives. But that's not the only way that Paul's pointing to our relationship with the Lord as being most central to our lives. In Ephesians 6, he says children are to obey their parents, and he uses this phrase, in the Lord. I talked about this just a minute ago. All throughout our study of Colossians, all throughout all of our studies of the Bible, we continually come back to this idea that when we trust in Jesus, Jesus lives in us. That is the gospel. That is Christianity 101. We aren't called to live the Christian life. We're called to trust in Jesus so that he will live his life in and through us. And when Paul says in the Lord, he's referring to that dynamic that we obey and honor our parents as we are trusting in Jesus, because only Jesus is able to live out the call of God in our lives. And it's okay for you to tell your parents over lunch, "Mom, Dad, only Jesus could be your kid and follow after you. And I'm trusting in Jesus," right? To tell them, "I need Jesus." That's not a slight against our parents. That's just the reality of living in a broken, fallen world as broken, fallen people. And so, young people, the most important thing you'll hear me say all morning, and old people, the most important thing you'll hear me say all morning is this: having the best relationship you can have on earth with your parents and your kids begins and depends on having a right relationship with your heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. So the first question for us this morning is not about our parents. It's not about our home life. It's our heart life. Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you living in your parents' home with Jesus living in your heart? Nothing else that we say this morning will ever be able to land in your life without Jesus. So I want to encourage you this morning, stop relating to your parents primarily on the basis of how good or bad you think they're doing as parents. Don't try to evaluate all of their rules or their leadership based on what you think that they should do or shouldn't do. That is not the foundation of your relationship with your mom and dad or their authority. The foundation is your relationship with Jesus Christ and your heavenly Father and the life that he desires to empower in you and through the work of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus is living in you, he will transform your life. He will change your attitudes. He will change your actions. He will change you from the inside out in a way that will demonstrate his power. And the way Paul says Jesus desires to transform the lives, the actions and attitudes of children is that they would obey their parents as they trust in Jesus. It's summarized with that word, obedience. That's the second thing we see from our big idea, that God is pleased then, as we desire to please him through the power of Christ. God is pleased when we obey our parents in the power of the Lord. Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." That word translated obey means to do what someone else tells you to do. It means to follow their instructions. It means to listen to what they say and then do what they say. The Greek word that's translated here, obey, was also used to describe a doorkeeper who would stand by the door and just patiently wait for someone to knock so they could open the door. They would listen intently and then be on the ready for their next step. That means to obey is to listen to and do what your parents tell you to do. Children, the call of Jesus on your life is to obey your parents in everything. So long as your parent isn't telling you to disobey or displease God, your call is to obey. Now, I know this is a very difficult concept to apprehend. So let me give you a bit of an example of what I mean. You need an illustration? Okay, I'll give you one. If your mom says, "Billy, come over here." Okay, insert your name there, because I know some of you smart alecks are going to say, "My name's not Billy, so I don't..." Mom says, "Come over here." Okay, obeying is when you go over there. Okay, so if you just sit there and look at her, that's ignoring. That's not obeying. That's disobeying. You guys with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, mom says, come over here. If you launch into a debate about whether she's justified in asking you to go over there or why she isn't telling your sibling to go over there, that's arguing. It isn't obeying. That's called disobeying. If you go the other way, she says, "Come over here." You go the other way. That's rebelling. That isn't obeying. That's disobeying. If you sit there a few more minutes finishing out your video game, that's delaying, that isn't obeying, that's disobeying. And the call of God for the lives of children is do what your parents tell you to do. Don't ignore, that's disobedience. Don't argue, that's disobedience. Don't rebel, that's disobedience. Don't delay, that's disobedience. And the call is to obey. And parents, part of your responsibility then is to raise your children by teaching them to obey, to respect and follow authority. You aren't called to be their buddy or their best friend. They don't have to follow you on social media to be your child. You're first called to be their mom and their dad in authority. You are called to train them by your goodness and kindness and patience and consistency and your firmness to submit to authority, to experience the blessing of doing so and the joy of having godly leadership so that they would be more likely to yield to God-given authority in the rest of their lives when they go to school, when they go to work, when they go to government, when they go out to eat with you and they're running around like banshees in the restaurant. God's calling you to do something about it. More than one, two. It's called training them to delay in obedience, right? God's calling us to do something about it. The Duke of Windsor once remarked, "The thing that impresses me most about America is the way the parents obey their children." And I don't know how accurate that was, but it's not supposed to be the case, right? We're going to talk more about this next week, but parents, the call of God for us is to live in an honoring way to our children and to God, of course, by expecting obedience, by lovingly and consistently disciplining disobedience. That's the call of Jesus. We'll talk more about that next week. And the call of Jesus for children is to obey our parents. And this brings up a really important question. Many would say, how long do I need to obey my parents? Like, how long does this last? Here's a very good place to start. It's when you leave your father and your mother and are joined to your spouse. You find God calling men and women to join to one another and to begin a new family. You see that in Genesis 2. You see it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. When you leave father and mother to be joined to the new spouse, the Bible teaches you're creating a new home. You're creating a new family. So you've been released in that way from your parents' authority. But as long as you are under the provision and the protection of your parents, you're under their leadership. So a good rule of thumb is this. If your parents can still claim you on their taxes, you need to obey them. All right, so kind of start right there, okay? But there's also a dynamic in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 7, that says that there are some people who are called to be single their entire lives. And so that kind of brings in a bit of a nuance to this. These are individuals who don't leave father and mother to be joined to a spouse. And yet they have a biblical call in 1 Corinthians 7 to live out their singleness completely free to follow Jesus because they don't have the constraints of family life like married people do. That implies that they aren't commanded then to be under their parents' authority. And I know you get into all of these kind of if-then scenarios about what happens next. Like if they have parents who are domineering or oppressive and forbid them to get married, what do they do? What if their parents forbid them to move out or forbid them to get a job so they could be financially stable? What do you do in that situation? Well, first you pray. You pray for wisdom and discernment. You ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to call in friends, individuals, counselors, pastors to be a part of that. Because if there are situations in which a parent refuses to allow a child to grow into the maturity that Christ has for them, that is not okay, mom and dad. And that is not what the Scripture is calling us to. Lives of perpetual childhood. That's not it. We're called to live into the freedom that comes from the children of God. And so while I know that there isn't a clear line or an arbitrary number, it isn't 18 or 19 or 20, there's not that kind of thing that the Bible gives us. We do have this promise, and Pastor Richard read it on the screen before.
we started our time of teaching, that Jesus gives us a helper, the Holy Spirit. And as you're asking that question, young adult, how long, what does this look like? What does the transition look like in my life? As you parents are raising children and they're becoming young adults and you're struggling with that, I encourage you, pray with one another. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and discernment. Reach out to spiritual mentors and leaders who can give you counsel and what it might look like to launch your children into the life that Jesus has for them. But so long as you're living under their authority, as you are dependent on their provision and their protection, a good rule of thumb is those are the indicators that you are called to obey your parents. Okay, so moving on from obedience, the Bible then gives us this next thing. It's called honoring. The number three, what we see in these passages of Scripture is that God is pleased not only when we obey our parents in the power of the Lord, God is pleased when we honor our parents in the power of the Lord. Look at Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 with me again. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That word honor also means set a price or value something. In other words, we're to honor our parents by treating them as valuable, as precious, as worthy of respect. And so this goes way beyond the action of obedience. This presses all the way into the attitude of our hearts. I've got to tell you that while that question about how long we obey our parents may be one that is a very valid question, I do believe that this call to honor our parents is a call that lasts our entire lives. We never outgrow the call of God to honor our mother and father. As a matter of fact, the word children in both of these passages, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 6, is a word that simply refers to offspring. It's a person of any age or any gender. It can mean a small child, a teenager, a young adult. It can mean a 60-year-old man or woman. As long as we live, we are the children of our parents in that way. And there's never a time when we're ever stopped to or called to stop honoring them. What Paul's doing here is he's quoting the Old Testament from Exodus and from the book of Deuteronomy. And when Moses gave this command under the inspiration of the Spirit to the children of Israel, he speaks this to them in the book of Deuteronomy. The nation of Israel is getting ready to enter the land that God had promised to give them. And what he's saying here when he gives them this command is that children who honor God's design for their lives will enjoy the blessings of God's promises in this new land. And they won't be run off or overcome or defeated by the enemy. And the reason I bring that up is because this isn't a promise that's saying that honoring your parents will result in a guaranteed long life or old age. Because there are plenty of people who have followed after Jesus, who have honored their parents and have actually died young. The very best example of that is Jesus himself, perfectly honoring his mother and father and dying a tragic death in his early 30s. The Bible isn't saying that every person who honors their parents will live a very long life. The Bible is saying that when you honor your parents, it's an expression of our desire to honor our God. And when you desire to honor your God, you will enjoy the blessing of his promise on your life. You will enter into the land of God's rest. And ultimately, you will live in the kingdom of God that is marked by joy and pleasure forevermore. And so the Bible's call here is honor God. It pleases him and it blesses you. It is the way that you enjoy the blessing of God. So how do you honor your parents? Let me give you just a few ideas, young people. You honor your parents when you obey them cheerfully and with a willing attitude. You know the difference between willing obedience and unwilling obedience, right? So when you go to your room to clean up your room and you do the angry clean. You guys ever do that? I do it sometimes. The angry clean, where you're just putting things away with an attitude that isn't honoring to the people you're supposed to be obeying. Cheerfully, willingly obey. You honor them when you speak respectfully to them. You honor them when you speak respectfully about them. How do you talk about your parents behind their backs? Is it honoring to them? You honor your parents when you tell them that you love them. And when you show gratitude and you say some crazy thing like, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Not just in what you give me, but how you serve me. And even more, thank you for who you are. And after they faint, they'll come back. They'll come back and they'll hug you and thank you for that. So you honor your parents as you ask their opinions and their advice. And maybe even put it into practice every now and then. You honor your parents when you choose to spend time with them and say, you're the kind of people I choose to be around. You honor your parents when you serve them by looking for ways to make their lives easier and not harder. Maybe even helping out around the house. Maybe looking for an opportunity to do something you can do to contribute to their lives. You honor your parents as you take care of them while they age. And I thought a lot this week about this dynamic because I know that many of us, when we talk about a lifelong commitment to honor our father and mother, many in this room are walking through a season where you are desiring to honor mom and dad and you are struggling with what that looks like. And I know every situation is so unique, so different. Every parent-child relationship is different. Every financial situation is different. Every medical or physical or mental or emotional dynamic is unique as adult children seek to honor mom and dad as they're aging. Let me just commend a resource to you that I think is a very good place to start. It's from Focus on the Family. It's called The Caregiving Season. The Caregiving Season. The subtitle is Finding Grace to Honor Your Aging Parents by Jane Daly. That'll be in my notes. You can look that up on the website next to this message sometime during the week if you want a reminder of that. There is no magic formula. There is no standard that we can just lay down of what this looks like, but it is an honoring thing when we go to our aging parents and we love them and we serve them and we seek by the grace and the power and the wisdom of Jesus to do what he enables us to do to take care of them. You honor your parents when you pray for them. You honor your parents when you follow after Jesus and say, you have raised me, or God has taught me in your home to follow after Jesus. There is no greater honor. And I can tell you as a dad that there is no greater thing that I would ever hear my children say than that they love Jesus more than me and that they would rather follow Christ than anything else. I would lay down and die a happy man. My job would have been done. The call is to honor your parents in the power of the Lord. And I know there are some of you who hear this, and just like obedience, this brings up another important question. Not how long do I obey my parents, but how do I honor a parent who isn't honorable? Just like I know there are many adults in this room seeking to honor aging parents, I also know there are many individuals in this room who have been deeply hurt by your parents. Some in this room have been abused. You've had parents who even to this day try to manipulate or control you. Even as you've gotten married, you've started a family of your own. There are those who don't know how to have a healthy relationship. They don't know how to let go as you leave and cling to your spouse. There's all kinds of difficulty, I know, in this particular command, not just for the children who are young, but for the children who are every stage of life. How do we honor our parents when they aren't being honorable? Well, I cannot give you a detailed list, just like I can't tell you how to honor aging parents in every detail. But let me give you just a few points. I want to encourage those of you who struggle with this to consider. Number one, pray for your parents to yield their lives to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount calls all of his followers to love and honor their enemies by praying for them. And we shouldn't do any less for our parents, even when they haven't lived honorably toward us. Love and honor your parents by asking God to do a work in their lives and your own that would redeem, that would repair what is broken in your relationship. Number two, ask God to give you a forgiving spirit. Your parents are broken, sinful people, just like you. And as you've been shown grace, Jesus calls you to show his grace. So where there's a need for forgiveness, and for many of us, as a matter of fact, for all of us who have been raised on planet Earth with human parents, there is a need for forgiveness toward mom and dad. Would you pray for God to release you from a place of bitterness and unforgiveness into a place of grace, that he would let go of that hurt by laying it down before the Lord. Number three, live as a witness to the power of Jesus to transform our lives. How do we honor our parents? By living in Christ's power. And when they've been dishonoring toward us, as much as it depends on us, we seek to live peacefully with all men, including them. And we desire to be transformed in a way that shows a mom and dad who need to be transformed the power of the transformation. Number four, establish healthy, appropriate boundaries. Now, I know this is going to be different for every situation, but it is not honoring to our parents to enable them to engage in behaviors that are destructive to them, to your children, or to you. And one of the reasons why I bring that up is because the statistics are startling. The number of individuals, even in so-called Christian homes, who suffer sinful abuse at the hands of their parents, and many of their stories include a parent who sinfully, wickedly twisted the word of God to say, you have to do what I tell you to do. You have to honor me. I'm your dad. I'm your mother. Listen, abuse is never God's design for our lives. And if you are in that place of suffering abuse, tell an authority, an adult that you trust, a pastor, a police officer, a teacher, someone that you know is respectable and would do the right thing. Do not live in that place as though there are not boundaries that God has drawn to care for you and your parents. Establish those boundaries by the power of the Holy Spirit and observe them with grace and dependence on Christ. Number five, don't try to figure life out on your own. What I mean by that is our situations are so unique. Our families are all so unique that we need wisdom that the Bible says comes with a multitude of counselors. And as you're seeking, whether you're a 17-year-old or whether you're a 60-year-old, whether you're in a home that you're living under the authority and the provision and protection of your parents, or you have a family of your own and maybe even grandchildren, you're still trying to navigate this out. Don't try to do that on your own. You say, how do I honor parents who have been dishonorable toward me and dishonorable toward God? Ask for wisdom from spirit-filled people, biblical counselors, pastors, spiritual mentors, Holy Spirit friends. Honor your parents is a lifelong call, and I know. It's a difficult call in a broken world. And that's why we need Jesus. And the good news is we don't just need Jesus. We have him. He desires to empower us, no matter our age, to honor mother and father. He desires to empower us to enable obedience to our parents. And ultimately, he enables us, as we trust in Jesus, to be children of the Most High God. Are you trusting in Jesus today? Some of you are. And I pray more of you that are than that said, okay, yes, I am. Are you trusting in Jesus today? Yes. There you go. Do you know what that means? It means you're a child. You're a child of God. And if you're raising children, they're watching how a child lives in their home by watching you. They're seeing what it looks like to obey authority by watching you. They're looking to mom and dad, and that's how they're seeing what it looks like to obey. And so what is your relationship with your Heavenly Father displaying in your home about what it is to be a child? Do you obey? Or do you argue with God? Do you delay your obedience? Do you rebel against Him? Or do you willingly and joyfully say, "Yes, Father, I will live according to your design"? Do you honor Him? Do you show honor to God as your God and display that in the lives of your children? They are learning how to live as children in your home by watching you, the children of the Most High God. And what does Jesus desire to empower in children? He desires to empower obedience and honor. And that takes us all the way back to the very beginning. That's why the most important relationship is not the one between our earthly parents and children. It's the one between us and our Heavenly Father. And so we end with this. Are you right with your Father in heaven today? Are you trusting in Jesus to empower your life today? What would it look like for you to step into obedience and honor in your home today? That is the call of God, because it pleases the Lord when children of the Most High God obey and honor their Father in the power of the Lord. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me and let's respond to God's word this morning. Are you trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you've never placed your faith in Christ this morning, would you call on Jesus to save you? Acknowledge that you are broken and sinful, and that you can't save yourself. And in faith, acknowledge that Jesus lived the perfect life you failed to live. And He died a sacrificial death on the cross that you deserve to die, and rose again so that He could raise you to a brand new life. Would you call on Jesus right now in faith? Trust in Him to make you right and keep you right with God your Father. For those of you who are trusting in Jesus, no matter your age, no matter what home you're living in, no matter what your relationship has been like with your earthly parents, are you trusting in Jesus to empower your obedience to the Father? Are you living honoring God? What would it look like for you to step into obedience today by the power of Christ? Young people, as Jesus lives in you, how is He calling you to live toward your mom and dad? Would you simply ask Him to transform your attitude and your actions to reflect His heart toward your parents? Father, I want to thank You for family and how You've created such an amazing gift for us to enjoy and to have our lives set within as we live, whether husbands or wives or moms or dads or parents or children. Lord, we just thank You that You've given us family, and we confess that as great and wonderful as this gift is, it's hard. There's so many challenges to living as broken people in a home together. And so, Father, I pray for the homes, the families in this place. I pray for parents, Lord, who have difficult children, who've rebelled against them. Give them grace. I pray for parents who are seeking to honor You in their home, and they know it's hard. I don't always know what to do. We're just people too. Lord, give them grace today. I pray for children as they seek to obey their parents and honor them and the challenges that that can bring. Would You give them joy and gladness in it today? Father, I pray for those who've been hurt, those who've been harmed. God, You would visit them in their need. Give them safety, give them rescue, give them protection, give them grace. And we thank You that all our needs are supplied in Jesus Christ, our Lord, today. And we ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen.